In Philippians chapter number 1 tonight, we'll read a few verses here and get back into this, Lord willing. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of, and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the Apostle Paul. I thank you for his love for the people at Philippi. Lord, I thank you for their love for him, how they sent, Lord, once and again unto his necessities and helped him, Lord, along the way. Father, I do pray tonight that the word of God would just come alive in our midst. And Lord, I thank you for these that have come. And Lord, I pray tonight that our presence here in the house of God would prove to be a blessing one to another. But Lord, most of all, it would prove to be a blessing to you. Lord, I wonder how you must smile when you look down and you see children that are faithful. Children, Lord, that walk in truth. Children that love you. Children that want to know more about Jesus. I pray tonight, Father, that you'd help us. Lord, I pray tonight you'd touch my wife. God, I pray you'd help her. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd touch us as we try to deliver the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm not going to go back and recap everything that we did last week, but I do want to say just a word or two. We're looking here in Philippians chapter number 1. Going to try our best just to study the book, line upon line, precept upon precept, and just try to read the book and then just kind of go along and see what God might could teach us from the Word of God. The Bible, I picked up on this, and this is where we only got about halfway through the verse, when it was Paul and Timothy. Thank God he included the young preacher. And by the way, I want to say this to you. How many of y'all know who Zach Hudson is? How many of y'all know who Zach is? Okay, Zach is the young man we baptized on Father's Day. Okay, and maybe the name threw you for a loop. But Zach got saved, I believe it was last October. He come down here and he got saved. And today, as I studied the Word of God, I thought about how Paul felt about Timothy. I'm telling you, he had a great love. He had the privilege to lead Timothy to Christ. Timothy was his son in the faith. And I remember that Thursday night in the Bible school that Zach came to me after that I taught the teens or preached to the teens, whatever you want to call it. And when I got down to the end of what I was saying about our path and following the Lord, I said, you know, if we're saved, that ought to lead us to the baptistry. And then if we go to the baptistry, then if we're saved, that ought to lead us to the brethren, to a local assembly, to a church. And then it ought to lead us to the broken. Well, Zach came to me and he said, preacher, he said, I'd like to be baptized. I've never spoken to him personally about it. He said, I'd like to be baptized. He said, when can you do that? I said, how about Father's Day? You're my son in the faith. I'll baptize you Sunday. He said, that'd be great. Amen. Now, I hope and pray if you don't have somebody like that in your life, that you would want somebody like that in your life before the Lord lets you go to heaven, a son or a daughter in the faith. And I'll be honest with you, Zach was a great blessing. Luis and he worked together out here. Luis had to leave about 1 o'clock. Zach stayed with me on after that. It was hot. I mean hot. That opening day of Bible school, putting that stuff up. And I tell you something right now. He was glad to be here. But I tell you, I was very glad to have him. And I was very glad to have the help. But there's something going on here, I believe, when you look at Paul and Timotheus. Paul wants to include him. How many believes if you have the privilege to lead somebody to Christ, you ought to want to include them in the work and what's going on? Amen. And that just rung a bell with me this afternoon as soon as I read those two words again. I thought about Zach. And then the Bible said the servants of Jesus Christ. We talked about that title, servant. The Bible said in Acts 16 and verse 17 that these same followed Paul and us and cried saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Now, I'm going to park there for a little while tonight, and I'm not going to apologize for that, because I believe with all of my heart that that's what the Christian life is all about, is serving the Lord. And you might say, "Well, preacher, how do we serve the Lord? What does He have? What does He need that we have?" Well, I'll be honest with you. Our Lord owns it all. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got the hill. He's got the tater in the hill. Amen. So if I understand the Bible, the way that we serve the Lord is by serving others. And I'll tell you, I can't help it now. It's fresh in my mind, so please bear with me. But I think about that bar over there in the fellowship hall. And that food bar over there in the fellowship hall for those on the internet. Amen. And I think about during Bible school, all those sandwiches and all those hot dogs and all those pieces of pizza and all that ice cream and all those chips. Somebody stood back there. I don't know about you, but if I stand in one place for 2 solid hours, I get tired. Amen. But they just kept on and kept on and kept on. You can say what you want to, but I believe our Lord was served that night as those children kept coming through there and kept coming through there. So we're looking at servanthood here, and Paul was a servant of the Lord. I'd like to get you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, please, and look at a passage of Scripture here. I'm going to bear down on this for a little bit tonight. I don't apologize for it, because I actually, if God knows my heart, and I know that He does, I want to be a servant the rest of my days. I want to be a servant of the Most High God. When they lay me in one of those boxes, amen, and roll me up here, and somebody has something to say, and people come walking by, I tell you, I believe the greatest thing that could ever be said is there was a man that was a servant of the Lord. Amen. I don't know what it was like. I wasn't here. I didn't know Brother Jack real well. I only was acquainted with him over at the hospital, he and his precious wife. But I tell you what I believe. Surely somebody had to come by and say, "That man loved the Lord." I tell you, if I've heard this once, I've heard it 100 times. That man loved the church. You say, "Well, how do you know?" Because he served the church and he served the Lord. Amen. That's how you can tell when people love the Lord. Look at Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 tonight. And I want to read a few verses here. The Lord gave me this a while ago. Paul said, "For our gospel," I'm reading in verse 5, "came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." In other words, Paul is saying, "Hey, you didn't just listen to what I said. You watched my life. You knew what manner of man I was among you." And then the Bible said in verse number 6, he said, "And you became followers of us." Amen. I tell you, every man in this building that has a child ought to want to live their life in such a way that they wouldn't mind for their children to follow in their steps. That doesn't mean we're perfect or we're going to look down at our babies and tell them we're perfect. They're not going to live to be 5 years old, they're going to figure out that's not true. Amen. But we ought to walk in such a way that they could follow us. As a pastor, I ought to walk in such a way that you could follow. And the Bible said, and you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. I just want to say this tonight. I'm not going to park there. But the day may very well come in America when we will be receiving the word in much affliction again. I'm telling you right now, we have a freedom that's wonderful. Right now, no one's persecuting us. How many knows this thing's headed the wrong way? Fast. I mean fast. I look at these babies singing in the choir on Sunday morning. I'm talking about these little ones. Amen. They bless my heart. But I tell you, it breaks my heart to think about what they may be facing when I think about how it's went the last 30 years. The Bible said this, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples. Okay? If you look at this here, look at this service, and you might not understand just yet. You will in just a moment. We're going to get to that word, serve. The Bible is teaching us here that Paul says, okay, I'm serving the Lord, and you're following me. Now you're serving the Lord. And watch here in verse number 7. Now you're an example to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. The Bible said, now there's others getting on board. There's others following. He said, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. How many believes that service is what's going to cause it to spread like that? Amen? He said, every place. You name the place, they've heard about you all over there at Philippi. They've heard about what God is doing in your midst. Now watch this. He said, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And watch this now. And how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. You know, tonight, there are people here. I thought about this today. There are some people in this room tonight that is, if you want to look at their past, it's not pretty. Say amen. But I'll tell you, there may be some people in this room tonight that have grown up in Sunday school and maybe never really, just say they've never smoked a cigarette, they've never touched a drop of liquor, they've never used God's, and that's possible, amen? They've come up, they've been taught right, they've been trained right, they've been in a clean environment, they've lived a clean life, but you know, really, every one of us at some point in our life have to realize that we're a sinner. And when we turn to God, you say, well, preacher, I don't understand. If you talk about an individual turning to God, turning from idols, well, what it happens is we realize it's no longer about ourselves. There's a Savior that died for us. And then when He comes into our life begins to be geared towards others and serving others. And so the Bible said here, they turned to God from idols to serve the living God and true God. And look at verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven. What I see right here is that, you know, Jesus did tell us to wait, didn't He? We're supposed to wait. But the Bible also said we're to occupy till I come. In other words, we're not just sitting with our hands folded or our arms folded and just waiting on the Lord to come. How many believes we're to serve? Amen? And Paul, do you all believe this? I believe he was looking for Jesus and his generation. I mean, I don't believe Paul was looking to go by way of the grave. Brother Herman Anderson over here at Victory Baptist Church, I had him up in Wise for me, preached revival years ago. And Brother Herman said something I've never forgotten. He said, whether it's by way of the clods or by way of the clouds, I'm going to be with Jesus. I mean, he wasn't looking for the clods. He knew it could be either way. Amen. He could either go by way of the grave or go in the rapture. And I believe the Apostle Paul lived the same way up until those last days when he said, of course, the time of my departure is at hand. And so we're looking at service tonight. Paul, a great example of a servant. It's one thing to preach it or to teach it. It's another thing to be an example. And I believe when he said Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, the people at Philippi could stop right there and say, amen. Amen. They had a great testimony for the Lord. Look over at Romans chapter 6 for just a moment, in verse number 16. I believe this servanthood, or this service of the Lord, will carry more weight in our lives when we think about where He brought us from, when we think about what's in my heart right now to share what we used to serve. I thought about this just a little while ago. I was laying on an ice pack and just trying to relax a muscle a little bit and get a little bit of relief. But I thought about this. I haven't always been in a place like this on Wednesday night. Can anybody say amen right there? You say, well, preacher, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Jesus came in. And Jesus showed us there's more important things than ourself. That we can live for Him and we can live for others. And I want to magnify this for just a moment in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 6, Paul said this. He said, know ye not, he's writing here to the church at Rome, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Is there anybody that here tonight that can remember when you yielded yourself to sin unto death? When that your life was yielded not to the Savior, but it was yielded to Satan. Your life was lived not for the Savior and not for others, but it was lived for yourself. And he said, to whom you yield yourself service to obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Look at the next verse. He said, but God be thanked that ye... Now here's a key word, were. Were. When we're talking about service, I believe this... Remember, how many remembers if you go through the book of Acts and Paul gets up to preach, what's going to inevitably come up? Anybody remember? I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to talk about a road that goes down to Damascus. He's going to talk about what he was doing when he met Jesus and how that Jesus turned his life around right there. He said, preacher, why are you trying to magnify this? Because I believe it will make us better servants if we will realize what we used to serve, amen, and who we have the privilege to serve now. He said this. He said, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's our word again, and such were. Look at that right there. Such were. W-E-R-E. That's what we used to be. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Being then made free from sin in Romans 6:18, he said, you became the servants of righteousness. I remember this like it was yesterday. I took that list of sins right there. If you've never been around prison or prisoners, I'll tell you this. Just like in society, they make a difference in sin. If you commit this sin, I mean, you can be cool in the prison if this is what you've done. I'm not going to start naming them tonight. Amen. But if you commit this sin and the other prisoners find out about it, your name is mud. I'm telling you, amen, your name is mud. In other words, they got what they consider sins that's acceptable and sins that's just absolutely unacceptable. How many's ever heard the term PC or protective custody? How many's ever heard that? One of the reasons a lot of those men are in protective custody is because of the crime that they have committed. Most of those would be of the sexual nature, and some against women, some against children, and things of that nature. So if that comes out on you, you're not going to be able to make it in the general population of the prison. They're going to have to put you over there with others that have done the same thing and protect you. And I remember like it was yesterday, I remember listing that list of sins right there. In those verses that we just, adultery, idolatry, effeminate, abuses themselves of mankind. I remember writing it on a chalkboard. And then I asked this question. I said, is there anybody here that's guilty of any of those sins? And I had plenty of volunteers, amen? Plenty of volunteers. Okay, and then I asked this question. I said, is there anybody here that's guilty of all of those sins? And I don't think I had a volunteer anywhere. But you know what the truth is? If you offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of all. How many believe that's what happened when God convicted us? He threw the book at us. Amen. We weren't standing around trying to figure out who committed the coolest sin, whose sin was the most acceptable. We knew that we had nailed him to an old rugged cross and that he went there to die for you and for me. The message that I was preaching, and I can feel a little bit of the air coming out of our system, was about how that God destroys that record. How that I wrote all those on a chalkboard. And then as I was preaching, I took an eraser and I erased all that mess. And then I said this. Okay, I said, all that mess is in these two erasers. I said, somebody come up here and take it. Put it out of these two erasers and put it back on that board. Somebody said this, said, that's impossible, preacher. And I got happy. And I clapped those two erasers together. And I didn't even mean for this to be part of the illustration. But that chalk dust, there was a good current of air. And that dust got just carried away right there in the chapel where I was. I said, glory to God, isn't that just like him? The Lamb of God took away the sin of the world. Amen. And so, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying, that makes me want to serve him when I realize what he's carried away out of my life, what he's forgiven me of, what I used to serve, what I used to live for, what I used to breathe for, I no longer live for and breathe for. I used to be the servant of sin, and now I can be a servant unto God because of his righteousness. And so, how many's glad the devil can't put it back on the board? Amen. The blood took it. Amen. When we get it under the blood, he can't put it back on the board. He tries, and if you're not careful, you'll try. Say amen right there. Some men and women can understand that God has forgiven them, but they can never get to a place in life where they forgive themselves for what they've done. Amen. But God has forgiven us. And so I see this in this word servant. In verse number 19 of Romans 6, Paul said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. In verse 20, he said, for when ye were, there's that word again, were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. In Romans 6:22, he said, but now being made free from sin and become the servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and everlasting life. Let me say this to you tonight. Sometimes when folk believe like we believe that God saved us eternally, that God gave us everlasting life, that once a person is saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, born again, however you want to say it, that person will never die and go to hell, that will never be lost. How many knows that what I'm talking about? Some people call it eternal security, and I'm not against that. But I do like what, help me, Brother Gary, our brother down in Carolina, a preacher for years. His name slipped my mind. Had a college down there, brother, on White Horse Road. Brother Seidler, thank you, brother. Hey, Brother Seidler, I couldn't remember his name, but Brother Seidler said, when I'm talking about eternal life, he said, I like to use Bible terms, everlasting life, eternal life. That means it's never going to end. And so when you preach that or when you teach that, what happens sometimes is folks say, well, that's a license to sin. If I believe that, I would just go out here and live any way I want to, do whatever I want to. And one preacher said, he was kind of just being cute. He said, well, you can. He said, but you need to understand, if you ever meet Jesus, your want to's change. Amen. You don't want to live like you used to live. You don't want to serve sin like you used to serve sin. And so that's what Paul's saying. He's saying you're made free, not to sin, but the whole reason Jesus set us free is so we could serve. Now watch this. I believe this is important. If that were not the case, then why are we even hanging around after we get saved? Why not get saved, go to heaven? Get saved, go to heaven. Don't we get saved and go to heaven? The fact of the matter is, our Lord wants us to serve. Amen? And He left us here to serve. So I just wanted to bring out there that God set us free that we might be a servant. When I talk about Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, I cannot magnify enough what is going on in their lives. If you look over there in 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn there with me, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23, he said this. He said, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Now, wait a minute. You might say, well, preacher, how in the world do you tie that in? Or how do you square that with what you said a while ago? We serve God by serving others. Well, if you read that in its context, and I challenge you to do that. I've done it. If you read it in its context in 1 Corinthians 7, what the ideal is going back under the law, going back under circumcision, getting back over there. And so what Paul is saying is, listen, grace set us free not to go back under the law, but to serve God in the righteousness that He has provided through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Galatians chapter 5, let's look at that for just a moment. I'll show you. These two, the passages do not contradict one another. They do not. When he said, be not the servants of men, he's talking about the religious hierarchy of that day. Amen? And by the way, I'll just say this. When people help me, that's a wonderful thing. If you help your Sunday school teacher, we help our Bible school director, we help our Sunday school superintendent. People help Sister Danita with all this set and all this stuff that has to go on. Listen, you say, well, preacher, I want to be a help. I want to be a servant. And that's fine. But I tell you, the ultimate goal here is that we're serving the Lord as we help one another. Everybody see that? Watch this now. In Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 13, I think this is important. Galatians chapter 5, well, I'm going to especially magnify verse 13. Go with me in verse 1. Paul said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How many knows what's going on in Galatians? Same old thing, trying to get them to go back, trying to get them to go backwards under the law. Paul said, I say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. In other words, the Judaizers, you don't get to just get to pick and choose. How many knows that's the way a lot of people treat the Bible? Amen? They just want to pick and choose. I like this and I don't like that. By the way, that's one of the reasons a new version's written about every month. Amen? So they want to pick and they want to choose. They want to skip this and skip that. Add this and add that. God said that's dangerous. In verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. And we know this is a text that is used much to a proof text that you can be saved and then be lost. Let me ask you a question. Everybody listen to me real quickly. How many people are justified by the law? He said, ye then that are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. How many people are justified by the law? Anybody know? Zero. By the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. So this is not a saved individual that's going back and then being lost. This is a person that is actually, in an apostate state, turn their back on the grace of God, and they're going back under of the law. Judaizers. The Bible said here, for we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said, I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Paul said, somebody's coming in with this. It's heresy, and y'all need to treat it like heresy. And he said, whosoever's troubling you, he'll bear his own judgment. Let's go to verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, let's look at this. This is where it's good. Ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I believe it's so fitting in the book of Philippians when Paul opens up in that first verse. He says, Paul and Timotheus, servants. That's the word. Amen. Servants of the Lord. They weren't servants in word. They were servants in deed. Anybody that hung around those two fellows could understand real quickly that they loved the Lord by the way that they treated others. The Bible said in Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Let me say this to you. How many remembers the Wednesday night before Bible school? How many remembers that? How many remembers me talking about frustration, and it would be easy to get frustrated and all that, get overwhelmed, so to speak. But let me say this. I believe that's impossible as long as we're doing the will of God from the heart. What happens is sometimes our feet keep going, our hands keep going, our eyes keep going, our mind keeps going. We keep doing what we know we're supposed to be doing, but our heart wasn't in it. How many knows what I just said? Amen. And I believe sometimes even in the home that can change things. It's one thing to do dishes, and it's another thing to do dishes when your heart's in it. It's one thing. You say, preacher, have you lost your mind? I'll say this. I don't think I have ever done dishes and my heart was in it. But I have had the privilege to watch my precious grandmother and sneak in on her. Amen. How many's ever sneaked in on somebody that was washing dishes and having the time of their life? Amen. Because their eyes wasn't on the dishes. Their eyes were on the Lord. Their heart was lifted up in praise. And I believe service is that way. When it's not from the heart, I really believe it won't be long and we won't be doing it. Amen? We won't be doing it. And so he said, not as men pleasers, but the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Let me show you a little bit more here. I got to quit, but man, I want to get through with the first half of this verse anyway, talking about service. In 1 Corinthians 9:19, Paul said this. He said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews, I just wonder, sometimes in the society that we live in, if he wouldn't have be called a fanatic or a hypocrite. The Bible said, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. How many knows about Paul's background? How many knows about his heart for the Jewish people? He said like this, I believe it was in, was it Romans 11? I believe it was. He said, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. I don't know about you, but that's strong language tonight. He's saying, I'd give up my spot in the kingdom, Brother Fred, if I could see my brothers and sister. And then you come into Romans chapter 10, and he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I believe Paul understood that God had sent him to the Gentiles. I know that he understood that. But I thank God for a man that, because of his Hebrew background and because of that background among the Jews, he could not forget those people. And the Bible said here, to the Jew I became as a Jew, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. An example of this, and I'll go on and quit here in a minute. Let's just say, and I don't have a tremendous knowledge of the Greek or of the Hebrew. I would no way, shape, or form. The word scholar wouldn't even get close to where I live. Amen. Y'all didn't know that. But suppose I was. What Paul is, how many believes he was? I mean, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, Hebrew. I mean, this man, he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. I mean, he could have put anybody to shame, but he didn't. If he was around a man that was weak, he became like a man that was weak. He wasn't there to step on that man. He was there to reach that hand down and say, sir, can I help you up? Can I tell you what Jesus has done? To me, that blesses my heart. That's what I see in this text. He's saying, hey, if a Hebrew wants to sit down and talk the Jewish tradition, I'll sit down with him and talk the Jewish tradition. But if a man's weak, a man's without the law, he said, I'm not going to sit down and try to persuade him under the law. I'm going to minister the gospel of Christ to him. I don't know about you, but that blesses my heart. He wasn't a hypocrite. He wasn't being hypocritical. He was real. He was genuine. I mean, like, maybe, I don't even know if I'd have the capacity to do that, this or not. But it would be like maybe a 11, or even Zach, my buddy I talked about when I started tonight. Be like trying to intimidate him in some area. Like I know so much more about something. I tell you what, we got back there in that corner doing them Bible verses together. And he got out there that day and he said, preacher, he said, I think the teens that are helping you today should get 5 tickets. And before the day was over, that changed to 10. And you know what? I got back there and I helped him on the, but you know, I believe he would tell you that I took my time and I just worked with him and just went along. It's not about making somebody feel lower. Amen. God help us if we got to lift ourselves up to make somebody else. Amen. God help us. And Paul was not like that. Not like that at all. And so it blesses me. It blesses my heart. And he said here, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. I started all this on the servant by saying this. There's probably not a greater title. Remember me saying that? Than being called a servant? Well, there might be one. Would anybody be interested in knowing what that title might be? A greater title for a child of God than being called a servant. Would anybody be interested in knowing what that title might be? Anybody have a clue what it might be? Anybody have a clue? Okay, let's look at it together and we'll be done. Turn over with me in the Bible, please, to John chapter 15. John chapter number 15. I won't be much longer at all. I know we got kids that need to get out and moms and dads that need to get out. John chapter 15. This really, really blessed my heart. And the Lord showed me this as I was studying about being a servant. In John chapter 15, you go down through chapter 15 and Jesus is talking about abiding in him, about bearing fruit. He talks about no fruit. He talks about fruit. He talks about more fruit. He talks about much fruit. And then he said this, look in verse 12. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In verse 13, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. In verse 14, now go with me to verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants. What about that? For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I want to ask you something tonight. How many of us know what our Lord's doing tonight? He's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. How many know He's coming tonight? How many know He's still saving to the uttermost? Amen. Those that will come unto God by Him. Watch this now. I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Let me just give you a couple verses tonight, and we'll quit. A couple verses. You say, preacher, you believe the Lord has showed us some things? Listen to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, watch this now, to show unto his servants. What happens when God shows unto his servants? They become friends. See that right there? He said, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And in Revelation 19 and 5, and a voice came out of the throne, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And there shall be no more curse in Revelation 22:3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that we're not a servant in the sense of just being a slave to God. He's called us a friend, amen? And that we know what our God is doing, and according to the book of Revelation, we know what he's fixing to do. He has shown us what he's going to do. Revelation 22:6, and I'm done. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show. That's what I want you to see. To show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. I believe when the Lord shows his servants that we actually, if it's possible, and I believe it is, he says, listen, I'm not going to call you a servant. I want to call you a friend. I tell you, Abraham was a friend of God. And I believe God wants you and I to be a friend as well. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but it blesses my heart just to have a little place in the kingdom of our Lord to serve him till he comes. I want to be a friend. I want to be a friend, Sister Teresa, to the Savior. I want to be a friend of the saints. And I want to be a friend of sinners. That's what I want to be. And I believe if we can be that, that at the end of the way, we'll be glad that we were his friend. We were the friend of the saints and a friend of sinners. Amen. Our Lord was that way, was he not? Father in heaven, it blesses me tonight to look down here and see Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ. God, I pray tonight, as we've examined a little bit about their lives, as we look back on our lives, think about, Lord, who we used to serve, what we used to serve. Think about, Lord, the change. The songwriter said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Lord, I was thinking about the children of Israel last week and how that before Gideon was even cold in the grave, they were turning to those idols once again, turning to the God of Baal, to the groves. But Lord, there's something they did not have that we have. We have the Holy Spirit of the living God indwelling in us. God, if you were to leave us to ourselves for just one day, there's no telling where we might be or what we might be doing. Thank you, Lord. I pray, God, that we live our life in such a way that we could be called not only a servant of the Most High God, but a friend as well. in Jesus' name.